Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Nick and Alex Baseball Show, the show that is trending to 700. My name is Nick Pollock, and I'm joined by the wonderful father, Alex.
Boring. Boo. Boring.
I should do that to you.
Just the wonderful. No, mine. Come on. Just the wonderful father.
Yeah, just the wonderful father. You know, I'm sorry to get sentimental with you fast.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I appreciate that. Let's start the right way. How are you? How are you feeling? We're all worried as a PL community.
Oh, come on.
How are you doing?
I'm feeling all right. I don't have smell. I think I had the most energy of any day since I got COVID last week. So we're okay. We're all right. You know, I understand. You know, I'll be honest. It's the first time I got it. You know, we see players go on the COVID IL, and I can understand. Like some guys right away, like, oh, no problem. I'll be there in the minimum amount of time. Some need longer. I still test positive 7 days later. Strong red line, baby.
The good news is you didn't lose taste because you never had it.
Wow. What a way to start this podcast. So we're going to talk about baseball in this one. This is the Nick and Alex Baseball Show. Thank you all so much for watching on Twitch at twitch.tv/pitcherlist. Also, we're pushing this out onto Twitter at pitcherlist today. So you can go watch it live there. Hey, and don't hesitate to leave a message in chat, Sacris. It's great to see you. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a fun show as always today. But what are the things that we got to talk about first? Fest? What are the things we do at the top of every show?
Well, you got a graphic of a pitcher that we got to make sure that people can guess, don't we?
We do. And thank you so much for rating and reviewing us on iTunes as always. But we have that. We have this wonderful graphic that I'm sure I have. I can totally put up on the screen in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Well, I'll help you while you pull that up. So obviously one of the things that happened a little bit earlier, one of the comments said, a father with an Emmy, put some respect on that man's
name. There it is. Yes. It's true.
One of the things that happened not long before we started recording this podcast a couple hours ago now was that we saw Shane McClanahan in warmups, a very emotional Shane McClanahan. Comforted by the head trainer, a left shoulder impingement is what we heard to begin with. And then we're going to wait and see. So what I want to know from you, Nick, is the AL East, just the AL wild card race in general, obviously still pretty tight, I guess. I mean, there's still a few teams that could theoretically make it. Obviously, the Orioles are in there. I think the Red Sox have pretty much fallen out of favor at this point, but the AL Central team still could make a push. And then also, you know, it's not that late. There are teams, the White Sox could theoretically still snag a position. What I want to know is if Shane McClanahan is done for the season, does he take the Rays with him? Or can they still hold on, in your opinion, to keep one of those wild card spots?
Well, that might be a question I answer very late in this show today. But I will say the impacts of starting pitchers at this point in the year, not as large as I think people will make it out to be, considering how few starts are remaining and how many games they actually influence, let alone no guarantee they would win in those games and no guarantee that they will not win without that pitcher. If there's anything about the Rays that we can say is that they are crafty. They find ways. They have that magic. And I feel like after last week's show, we have to give them a little bit more respect as they are the number two team right now in the AL East. They are within striking distance. You know, it would be a very New York thing traditionally with the Mets to lose this lead in September for the Yankees, still very much a possibility. I'm not going to rule it out that the Rays are not going to make the playoffs or even catch the Yankees at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. Usually, maybe I'll eat my words in a couple of weeks.
Eat them.
They, yum, 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 yum. They, have usually by this point brought up a sort of prospect that we've seen start to flourish for them. Sure. Right? Like later in the season, or the second half of the season, we're used to them bringing a guy up. If you look, first of all, their number five would now be Ryan Yarbrough. He would likely go from long relief to getting back into the rotation, which is...
Well, I mean, he's been essentially doing that. They've been using an opener for a bit. The Friday Pirates gone like 4 or 5 innings, but maybe Wright could be 6 or so. Stretch him out a little bit longer.
So, but that's not a good solve. So we have that, right? So there's not any relief there. Obviously, Shane Boz with the strained elbow, Yanni Chirinos with the fractured elbow, Tyler Glasnow out for the entire year. And then you go to the minors and you have Brendan McKay, who just got a UCL injury, which leaves you then with Josh Fleming and Luis Patino. Luis Patino obviously could theoretically come back up and make somewhat of an impact, but we're really not talking about the same amount of depth that we've really seen from them, right?
Right. Absolutely not. Yeah. I do wonder also how good that offense is. I feel like they're a middling one at the moment, but you just can't count them out. They're in the playoffs today. And as long as they stay within the hunt, I mean, magic happens in Tampa Bay. So even though Brett Phillips isn't there anymore, don't count him out.
Man, Patino just got shelled pretty hard, too, down in AAA, which is kind of interesting. It's difficult. You can't necessarily count them out at all. Do you have this graphic here?
I'm ready. Oh, yes. Ready? Yes. That was a wonderful time. So this week's pitcher now might be obvious to some of you. A 9-6 record, 158.1 innings pitch, 3.01 ERA, 0.99 whip, 31% K rate, 6.8% walk rate, 33.5% CSW, 96.2 mile per hour fastball, 16.4% swing strike rate, and just 21.3% hard contact, about a 47% ground ball rate. Fast, who do you think this is?
I think this is a guy who cannot pitch against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Interesting. Okay.
I think it's a guy who does not know how to pitch against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That was a very quick answer. Normally you're like, oh, I don't know. No, this was, I feel like you feel confident.
I feel pretty confident about this one. Cause I mean, listen, when you see that much red there, there really aren't that many dudes that it could be with that inning count, with that fastball velocity and with that strikeout rate.
Sure.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, all right. If you're wondering where is Nick getting this graphic from, well, of course, this is the PL Player Pages where we rank every single stat that you see right here relative to the rest of the league. So you know that this guy is 9th in the league in strikeout in 6th in innings pitched. Pretty dang cool. We'll see if you're right. And Clyde is, I think, agreeing with you in the chat right now. We'll see. We'll find out at the end of the show. Well, maybe not. I do want to mention there are a couple other injuries that we've seen this week. We saw Tony Gonsolin. Of course, Mick Shane is a shoulder impingement. I hope he does come back before the end. Zach Wheeler with a forearm strain. And by the way, or a forearm injury, I should say, there is an image of, I Googled to find out more about this, of Zach Wheeler's forearm injury.
What do you mean?
And it is the funny. I mean, I was just like, doing the list. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me find out about this and like find. I just want to know, like, is this serious? Is it not? It's forearm tendonitis, right? Mm-hmm. And I have to share with you just how this looks. It's the funniest thing to me. Do you think this guy has a hurt forearm?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
They found like the most ridiculous. You know, I want to zoom in a little, like, do you see this?
That is terrifying. That looks like, if you zoomed in, that's the arm of an 85-year-old man. You know what I mean? That doesn't look like a pure raw athlete's arm.
Yeah. This is, that's a lot. That's, you can just see the face like, oh no, I am hurt. Yeah. That's Zach Wheeler. And I'll stop with the sound effects moving forward. But he's hurt, and it's sad to see September come and we see these injured starters. Do you think for Tony Gonsolin and Justin Verlander that their Cy Young chances are out the window now?
Ooh, that's a really great point. I don't know if either of those teams particularly care. because they probably just, sure, yeah. I imagine both of them come back. Well, maybe not Tony G, but
it's a very interesting conversation about that, because you have the Dodgers who are going to do six man with Clayton Kershaw coming back, right? Mm-hmm. It might be changed now. They might still go with Ryan Pepiot, for example. They had Michael Grove come up as an emergency starter on Monday, but the Dodgers had a plan in place. There was even some talk about being a phantom IL. I don't think that's the case at all, where Gonsolin, they wanted him to be fully stretched out and ready to go for the playoffs. And slowly, I mean, I guess they're going to go six man now. And obviously they don't care about that six game in the same way I just talked about it. Talked about with Jordan Montgomery being dealt by the Yankees. Like, it doesn't matter that much for that one starter five times the rest of the way. But it might mess up a little things, put a little extra stress that the Dodgers want. Same thing with Verlander. That was supposed to be a six man with the Astros. Now maybe Christian Javier comes back earlier.
Well, let's take a look at the I mean, it's not even just Justin Verlander. It's also Shane McClanahan likely hitting the IL too. And again, we don't know. This could be conjecture. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe they got lucky.
But yeah.
Yeah. Usually when I see a player cry, it's not, doesn't result in I'm back pitching in 5 days. But does this mean then that this is Dylan Cease's award to lose at the moment? Because I mean,
that's interesting. Already,
he's second in the league in expected ERA among qualified AL starters. Mm-hmm. I believe he's third. Yeah, he's third in ERA. I know you don't care about FIP when it comes to the Cy Young, and that's good.
Care about ERA? I care about ERA innings. Yeah,
ERA and innings. So he's, you know, we already established that he's up there in terms of ERA and innings. He's top 15. I mean, he's 147. He's about 10 innings away from Garrett Cole. But you have to figure if he stays healthy, he's going to get another, you know, good amount of innings to take a considerable lead over Justin Verlander. The betting, the odds were between McClanahan, Cease, and Verlander. Right. I don't know. Is Cease the winner now of the AL Cy Young?
I mean, look, if Verlander and McClanahan do not pitch the rest of the way and Cease does not fall under Alec Manoah or someone else in ERA with the same amount of innings, that's how I stand. If you guys don't know this about me, when it comes to the Cy Young voting, I do not care about predictive measures. I don't even care about strikeouts. I care about how many runs did you allow on your watch and how many innings did you do it for? That's all that happened. This is an award about what happened in the season. All the other things that we talk about is really great when we talk about overall just how what we trust moving forward. And that's flair. But ultimately on the board, you can have the best FIP ever, but if you allow that one run and someone else allowed zero, you lost the game. And that's the most important thing at the end of the day. So for me, I just see right now, yeah, you have Verlander at 184 ERA. You have Shane McClanahan at 220. But then third, as you mentioned, Dylan Cease at 227 with Manoah at 260. And if that sticks, it's Dylan Cease's. I mean, he just needs to throw, you know, I guess until 180 innings or whatever it is, and you got it, buddy.
I'll never understand it.
I literally just explained it.
I understand what you're saying. It doesn't make any sense that all of a sudden you're like, ERA matters.
No. ERA matters for the Cy Young. It's just the Cy Young.
Why?
Because that is an award of production.
Exactly. And what's the best indicator of production?
No.
Yeah.
You don't understand. Production is bottom line. Like, if you want to tell me, oh, I sold $500 worth of stuff and this guy sold $600. Yeah. But I worked harder and I did so much more to get that $500. No, I don't care. This guy made $600. He gets the prize. That's what this is. You know, you could say he got lucky that he sold that one thing to get that commission or whatever, but like, and you did all the right things and it doesn't matter. That guy sold more than you. He gets the prize. That's all it is. Don't look any more into the Cy Young.
I disagree. We'll never see eye to eye on it. That's all right. It's all right. Everyone knows I'm right. It's all good. We'll move on. we'll move on. So let's talk about another.
This is what I have to deal with, everyone. You know, constantly.
Let's talk about another hot button issue here. We've given good attention, and as we should, to the very fun AL Rookie of the Year, which is only getting more interesting because Stephen Kwan is really entering the conversation, as he should. But the NL rookie of the year at the moment is really just between two players, and they're both on the same team, and that's Spencer Strider and Michael Harris III. So Michael Harris III has now tied Adley Rutschman in WAR. So he co-leads all rookies in WAR. He's got a 3.6 WAR. He is far and away the most productive offensive player, offensive rookie in the NL, although Lars Nootbaar really giving him a run for his money, which kind of cracks me up because I just love that name. So let's look at the lines here and talk about the season ends today, who your NL rookie of the year is. So the slash for Michael Harris is 298, 343, 517. He's got a 371 WOBA and a 136 WRC plus. So he leads the NL rookies in virtually all of these categories except for OBP. He's got a 3.6 WAR, as I mentioned, 13 home runs, 15 stolen bases. So in all likelihood, going to end with at least a 15-15. Then we move over to Spencer Strider, 106 and two thirds at the moment. So likely ends the year with what, 125 or something like that. 2.87 ERA, 2.05 FIP, 3.6 WAR as well. These gentlemen are tied in WAR. Just 312 plate appearances for Michael Harris, fewer than 100 games played, 82 games played total. Season ends today. Who is your NL Rookie of the Year?
Look, Spencer Strider has a 205 FIP. So there you go. I'm joking. I'm joking. That's
very good. Very good.
All right. No, I mean, I'm obviously biased towards the pitcher. What Spencer Strider has done, I mean, I know there has been a lot of excitement about Michael Harris. I'm so hyped about Spencer Strider. Yeah. It's just so much fun to watch him do his thing. I think that he adds a lot of value. I mean, look, so does Michael Harris. You can't go wrong. I'm not just saying that because it's exactly a 3.6 WAR. No, 136 WRC plus for Michael Harris is huge. Not to mention he does not hurt on defense either. Both of them are far and away the best player at their respective position for the NL. Just be happy that Atlanta got a Rookie of the Year.
All right, but it sounds like if you had to.
I'm going Strider. I'm a pitching guy. The site is called Pitcher List.
Yeah. Oh, we've got a hitter list on here. I think you're right where you really can make an argument for both. So because you chose Strider, I'll make an argument for Harris. I think there is something to be said that he came up, was immediately productive, and would help kept the team competitive without Acuna. And then there's also something to be said that it's on both sides of the ball, right? Mm-hmm. He's playing arguably a top three most demanding position defensively, right? You could say between catcher, center field, and shortstop. You want to have
67th percentile
in what
position to play? Top three.
Top three. Yeah, exactly.
Of nine.
67th percentile. But of that, if you're in 67th percentile, you better be 90th or above and outs above average. And he is.
There you go. So that's the new stat on the site, guys. That's what we got. If you're 67th and 90th.
67th and 90th. Yeah. So I don't know. I think you can make a good argument. I mean, it's funny because when you get this close, you have to really look at the nitty gritty, right? I mean, he strikes out a really big amount and he does not walk. He's got a sub 5% walk rate.
I don't care. I want that WRC plus 136, you know, the production is there. I don't care about what the process is. What are the results? Mm. Yeah. It's the opposite of me doing. No, that's the difference. Not the result. Those are not the results. That doesn't exist. The FIP does not exist. It's like me, Lindsay Lohan, and Mean Girls. Mark Tompkin, thank you so much, Sackers, for putting this inside the chat, reports that the Rays, Kevin Cash, said they are, quote, fairly optimistic McClanahan won't miss much time. MRI will be key to confirming diagnosis. Well, yeah, okay, that's coming tomorrow, i.e. Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I hope that means that McClanahan can get the Cy Young, because I think there are a lot of people in the fantasy industry who would be reminding me through the offseason how Dylan Cease won the Cy Young. You know, for my own ego and pride, I would very much like McClanahan, who I'm a McClanahan fan of, to win it instead. I don't know. You guys know me. I want every pitcher to be dope. I'm very happy that Dylan Cease has soared this season. Now, going to the AL side, the rookie of the year debate. And I'm assuming you're taking Harris here, by the way, just because.
Yeah. Harris. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. On the pitching side, George Kirby seems to be running away with it. 97 innings, 2.1 WAR, 3.32 ERA. He's having a fantastic season for the Mariners. And then you have, who are these guys? Have we ever talked about this? It's Adley Rutschman and Julio Rodriguez. Now, there is one thing I'm going to say that was mentioned inside of the chat that I thought was pretty good by Bobby Colon. Now, they both have pretty much identical WAR, Adley and Julio. Mm-hmm. Adley's played 79 games, while Julio 111. Mm-hmm. And I never know where I side on this argument. And what I'm saying is, would you rather have a player who plays fewer games but has a larger impact in those games than a player who helps your team in more games but overall arguably has a lesser impact in each individual game?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if I know the answer to that.
Well, the best might be, who is the replacement? So it's Adley versus the other. And so if it's a really bad replacement, then you know, you want to combine Adley and the other one versus Julio and the other one. Then you can kind of see how much of an impact they're making, right?
Yeah.
But then is that fair for rookie of the year? I don't know.
I mean, luckily, I think by the time the season is wrapped up, we're going to have an adequate amount, enough amount of plate appearances between the two of them, right? Like Adley will be over 400 by
the time. Sure. So you're saying that the minimum for Adley will be above it, that the gap between him and Julio won't be so large.
I think so. I mean, Julio missed a little bit of time, which caused that gap to decrease a little bit. Right now, they are very, very, very close, right? 3.6 WAR to 3.5 WAR between Adley up top and then Julio right below him. Mm-hmm. Adley leads in WRC+. Adley leads in WOBA. Adley leads in OBP. He's behind in slugging and a little bit behind in average.
And what I always say is that I always go with a guy who has a higher slugging. So I'm sorry. It's just
higher slugging.
That's what I always say fast.
So what's kind of interesting is, like, obviously you look at the home run and the stolen base totals, and if you're just doing that, there's no conversation.
It's not even close.
2020 season. But Adley leads rookies in doubles, which is something pretty special considering, again, he doesn't even have 400 plate appearances yet, right? That's something.
Yeah, so that's pretty
the
cool.
Extra base hits overall, I think, honestly, because it is so close and anything can happen in the final season, again, it has to come down to, because of we're at this point where it's so close offensively, it has to come down to defense. And if it does come down to defense, there's not a question. Like, there's not a question. And I'm not even looking at just the defensive numbers in
defensive WAR. Yeah.
Because sometimes they can overly, I think, weigh catchers and their impact.
Sure.
But there's no question that Adley is like a top five defensive catcher or overall catcher right now. Everything about his framing has been fantastic. It's helped completely turn around that team. And if rookie of the year is in theory the MVP among rookies, we're talking about him benefiting a rotation of pitchers. You could make the argument Julio is too, because he's a center fielder and he's the defense is impacting him, but not the way that Adley is. So even if I remove my Orioles hat, if these two names were totally removed, I think it would be Adley's at the moment, but literally anything can happen in the final weeks.
Well, first of all, you'll never take off your Orioles hat. Don't you dare do that. Second of all, you forgot to mention Adley Rutschman's morale. I've seen how much he smiles and hugs, and that makes an impact fast. You know, it's all about Alex Thinkfast. And third, you want to know what I think? I think we need to take a quick break. And we're back. What I think fast after this break now is Julio Rodriguez, I think, is the heart and soul of that team. Adley Rutschman, not a chance. I'm just kidding. This is fun things to rile you up. It's got to be Julio to me. I think also with the contract that he was just signed up, the way he's steering the Mariners, it's his to lose, even though Adley is doing such a good job. I think a lot of voters are just going to look down and say, look, 21 home runs, 23 stolen bases versus 8-3 of Adley. Say all you want about the defense impact. Say what you want about the 363 OBP versus Julio's 323. they're going to give it to Julio. And it's kind of hard not to, given those numbers. So it's regardless of all the underlying metrics that are saying, like, look, like he's actually doing a lot more than those lack of home runs and stolen bases are going to tell you. 14% walk rate versus a 6.6 of Julio. They're not going to deny the better average, more home runs, more stolen bases, more RBI, all that stuff. So I think it's going to be Julio in the end.
All right. All right. Yeah. Lastly, let's go to the MVP.
This is
the
one
I really wanted to get into. I mean, I know it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You hit 50 home runs. You got to feel like you're just going to go ahead and lock it up.
You know, he almost has a 200 WRC plus. That's like 100% better than the league average player. That's double.
There is no doubt. It's unbelievable. I still just give it to Ohtani. I really do. I think I don't understand how we can sit here and say that we can't give it to the guy who is doing better than what he did in many ways in his MVP season. And this isn't to detract from Aaron Judge. We have two. You know what? Fine. Do it. Do a co MVP. Like, I don't care. Like, give it to both of them because both of these accomplishments should be rewarded. I don't think it cheapens it whatsoever. Yes, Ohtani isn't going to hit 4 home runs like he did last year. He's still going to hit probably like 35. And guess what? He's going to have a sub-3 ERA doing it. That's unbelievable with a better whip. With a better whip and a higher K percentage. The man is a legitimate ace who is putting up a 3.1 war on the offensive side of the ball. That's unbelievable. I truly don't even think it's a conversation.
Yeah, it's a 4 war just from the pitching side.
That's unreal.
Yeah, he's I keep coughing because I still have COVID. Sorry. Okay. I can get it together. I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. Ohtani should get it. We didn't give it to Vlad Jr. when he won the Triple Crown last year. And I that's the bottom line of what's going on. Is you can say everything you want about how good Aaron Judge is. You know, we were just talking about Adley and Julio and their offensive war. It was like 16 versus 18. Judge has 59. The next guy after Aaron Judge is 59, is 39.
That is unbelievable.
That's Yordan Alvarez, who, by the way, has only played in 16 fewer games. It's not like, you know, there were some talks of him maybe winning it at midway through the season. He's a 179 WRC plus after all. But yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, keep in mind, there are things like the silver slugger is a thing, you know, Judge wins it, right? He's the most valuable player is Ohtani. You literally have two studs instead of one. That's better.
I hate to do this. I don't think that is offensive or defensive war. I think there are offensive and defensive runs above average.
Oh yeah, sure. You're right. You are right. I apologize for that. What I'm trying to get at though, you know, I think that the Angels are the ultimate stars and scrubs team. And it's insane that they have two stars in one and they still don't have enough stars on that team. And I feel bad for them. And we talked about them a lot last week. But this is just unprecedented from Ohtani. And keep in mind, his war on the... Oh, wow. I didn't realize this. His war on the offensive side is impacted because he doesn't play defense.
That's interesting.
Right? Because like I see like, you know, negative 13 or whatever. And I know that's not war. I'm not making that fallacy. But like I think that's kind of included in that. I wonder if it is, if he gets detracted as a hitter, not playing defense.
That is interesting.
I'm sure someone has an answer and is yelling right now, be like, no, that's not the case or something like that. I just never thought of that before. It's gotta be Ohtani. No, yeah, I pick Ohtani.
Well, so if the formula for that is fielding runs above average plus positional adjustment, the positional adjustment would have to be for a DH, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know how exactly that works.
I mean, I will say this, like it's weird for him to have a 3.1 war despite having a 143 WRC plus, but then I go to Xander Bogaerts with a 131 WRC plus with a 4.7. And I have to think, like, he's getting dinged for when he hits, he does not play defense. Maybe he should. You know, if we're going to talk about him on the hitting side, like, he's not playing defense in those games. And then, you know, the pitching side, you just get that benefit of the pitching side without the negative of not fielding in those other four games or five games or whatever. Yeah. Something to think about.
So right now your vote is
Ohtani.
Is Ohtani. Okay.
Yeah. Would you, I mean, would you disagree? You can't not. You made the case. Yeah. Absolutely. And what about the National League, Fast? This is a fun one. It's debatably between two Cardinals players, and Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt on the pitching side. We can talk Cy Young, but honestly, I think we all agree that it's Sandy Alcantara, and everyone else is stupid who doesn't, because it's the best ERA and the most innings.
Yeah, I think it's, I feel like, it's
sorry. It's like, if you disagree, I mean, fine. Best ERA, 210 for Tony Gonsolin with 60 fewer innings. But oh man, if you don't give it to Sandy Alcantara, I swear to God.
Yeah, that would be very frustrating if he didn't get it. Who leads the NL in FIP?
Who leads the NL in FIP? Do you know the answer? Are you just being silly?
I'm just asking.
Oh, Carlos Rodon.
Very
and Max Fried, Aaron Nola are the top three there. 241 for Rodon, 255 for Fried, and 268 for Nola, while 287 for Alcantara. Okay. The thing is, though, how Alcantara pitches is that he's so effective at getting sinkers inside and gets all these groundouts. It's why he's able to go so deep in games instead of trying to strike everybody out. It's not just a luck. And this is why you can't just follow FIP. You can't do it.
You can't. You shouldn't. You shouldn't follow it blindly, but it should be weighted more because it's indicative of what a pitcher.
Oh, my Lord. Don't you dare take this away from me, Fast.
Cherry picking.
Sandy.
I do think it is Sandy.
Okay.
I think it's kind of Goldschmidt's to lose on the NL when it comes to the MVP. Dan, that Arenado leads the league in WAR, and that's going to happen because of the defensive
he's
numbers.
He's so good defensively.
Yeah, he's unbelievable defensively. But like, I don't know, every other. If you're talking about Judge's 195 WRC plus, then you got to talk about Paul Goldschmidt's 191. Yeah. Both of these guys are the only two players in baseball with a WOBA over 400, and it isn't even close. Again, if it gets closer, if Nolan Arenado continues to catch up, if that race, you know, if they're still both hitting 300 at the end of the year, if the WOBA is virtually the same, then I think you can give the tiebreaker to Arenado because of the defensive contribution. But I think it might be Goldschmidt's to lose.
My takeaway is I'm a little unimpressed with hitting in the National League.
Really?
I don't know. There aren't so many like absolute studs that I thought.
Oh, you mean after Goldschmidt?
Yeah, like Goldschmidt and Mookie Betts is having a great season too. Manny Machado is having a solid one, but it's like not too many of these overwhelming ones. Like I see five here of WAR is Freddie Freeman. He only has 16 home runs this year. You know,
yeah, I'm a little surprised.
I mean, 327, you know, doing well in other things. Like it's not all just about home runs, but I don't know. It's a little more underwhelming than I expected.
I know it's average. It's always nice to see seven guys hitting over 300, like Jose Iglesias, who everyone expected, of course, would be.
Yeah, of course. Do you have any ties with Jose Iglesias? Is there any reason why you care about him?
Greatest Oriole of all time?
Yeah, there it is.
Jose Iglesias?
All right. Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on here. So we've got a couple things that I wanted to just quickly discuss. Just very quickly, just bring up. And I want to hear your thoughts. Now, you might have seen going the rounds, whatever the phrase is. I don't know. The rounds. Making the rounds. They make them. The rounds have been made about Zach Hampel being kicked out or at least disciplined by the Colorado ushers. And Marcus Stroman had this to say to Zach Hampel. He said, "It's truly comical how much of a loser you are. Grown man taking baseballs away from the youth and making videos complaining about security doing their jobs. You're the definition of a clown." How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I didn't. I only saw the video. I can't comment on it because I only saw the video without any of the audio. So I don't
okay.
pass judgment on something that I don't haven't seen all of mm-hmm. the stuff on. I will say this, that like if you catch a home run ball and there's a kid there, unless it's like an historic home run from a jersey from the dude who you're wearing his jersey, you just give the kid the ball. Like yeah. it just give the kid the ball. Why? What are you thinking?
I think you guys know me. I'm someone all about love and no hate and, you know, spreading that as much as I can and encouraging that all the time, which is why Zach Campbell, dude, I'm so proud of the Colorado Rockies. They became one of the best organizations in my book after this. It bothers me immensely that these players, these people that go to the park, all they're trying to do is their dream is to catch this home run ball. Mm-hmm. And here he comes running down with a glove and stealing it away from so many people all the time, tries to say like he's been victimized when the usher is like, dude, man, like you're taking this moment away from someone maybe who only went to one game a year and like a home run ball is coming there. And you have like thousands, you know, like it's insane to me. And dang right, Colorado Rockies, put him in his place. Marcus Stroman saying this too, bring more attention to the negativity that Zach Campbell brings to baseball. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm for it, man. I think this kind of these actions that Campbell's taken need to be punished. Like he needs to be ostracized for it because he's ruining the experience for everyone else. And I hate that. That's when I get vocal. When other people get harmed because of one person's selfish actions. So I'm all for this. I loved it.
Speaking of getting punished and being vocal, would you like to comment about all the bizarre, all the sexy acts that are happening in the ballparks in the past couple of days? Or is that not something that you want to touch?
I'm sorry, what?
All the lewd acts that have been happening first in Oakland and today in Toronto, people just letting the freak flag fly a little bit inside of Major League Baseball parks. And it seems to be becoming a very bizarre trend. I don't get it. It's very surreal to me. Nick?
Well, I'll comment on the scoreboard, which looked like it was an ad by the Brewers that someone got friend zoned.
And it
seemed like a plant, and the Yelich said like that motivated the team to score, you know,
sure.
for Mark. You know, a quick comment on that, you know, it's hard. It's if you are being friend zoned, it can hurt, but it can be very hard to be the one friend zoning too.
Sure.
And, you know, it's not fun for either party. You know, that's all I'll say about that.
There's another thing, a topic that I wanted to hit upon. So obviously the World Baseball Classic is coming up quick, right?
Oh yeah, we've got a fantastic article on the site about it. You should go check it out.
It's going to be happening next year, the beginning of the year, March 8th through March 21st, right in the middle of spring training, which might be a little bit worrisome for some people. And there's going to be dozens of takes about whether or not, you should be drafting Mookie Betts or Bryce Harper, considering they're probably going to be giving it their all in the World Baseball Classic, as opposed to taking some easy swings at the middle of March. With that said, though, putting that conversation aside, you got to be pretty hyped for that Team America. That thing is looking pumped. That thing is looking stacked. So we got Trout, Story, Arenado, Goldschmidt, Real Muto, Bryce Harper, Pete Alonso, Cedric Mullins, Mookie Betts, Tim Anderson, Kyle Tucker, and Will Smith behind the dish. We're talking about like you're making a fantasy team in like MLB The Show when you used to
be able
to draft your own person. That's what dreams are made of, my friend.
I didn't see Adley Rutschman there.
No, I don't want him there.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't want him there. I don't want him there.
Why not?
I want him taking it nice and slow. I want him enjoying the free year of service time he got from finishing first or second in the Rookie of the Year voting.
It's not over yet.
I want him
Stephen Kwan, baby.
Could be. I want him working with all the pitchers, getting on the same page with DL Hall and Grayson. It's going to be exciting. Lest we forget too, that last World Baseball Classic many moons ago. That's what we needed. Like it's good. Also, one more thing too.
Yeah.
I wish we could do this, Nick. There's also the KBO series that's happening in November with American players traveling over to the KBO. And I got to say this. We talked about this repeatedly on the podcast. The KBO plays the right version of baseball. The KBO plays the version of baseball that everyone in America is hankering to see. And I really hope that
we can see
that trend. It's fast pace. Uh-huh. It's in your face. It's bat flips. It's raw emotion. It's
forgot the best part. Fast.
Swole Daddy.
It's got the sword.
It's got the sword. The KBO winning sword for
the trophy. It's not a hunk of metal. It's a sword.
It's a I don't know. Was it the sword? Is that what the trophy is?
Yes, it's a giant sword.
I thought it was, okay. I thought it was just something that the NC Dinos did. Yeah, you're right.
It's a sword. How could you forget the sword?
I remember the sword. I forgot that was the trophy.
Oh, God. That's the whole reason why they're playing. The sword.
You got to play with the sword. That's
gotta
have the sword. Baseball, the World Baseball Classic champion should just win a copy of Civ 6 signed by Sid Meier.
What?
Yeah, that should be the prize.
Oh,
they're the best baseball team in the world.
Yeah, Civ 6. Gotta go get it, everyone.
Gotta go get it. Not as good as Civ 5. Not as good.
You know, I played 40 hours of one game of Civ 5 and got a science victory. Is it in nothing? I was like, I'm good.
Then you got to bump up, baby. You got to bump up.
No, I'm good. I'm good. What else happened this week? We got MILB. Possible unionization. And awesome. That's a wonderful thing. It might be some time here. I believe there's going to be a delay essentially with a lot of people signing this, and then there are going to be shifts of rosters in the offseason that's going to require everybody to sign it again. So you're going to see some delay before this actually moves forward, but this is the beginning of the process. Wonderful stuff here. I think all of us can agree this is a good thing. And be wary of all the negative press you're going to see about this. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. And you just, like we were with the lockout, with the owners trying to cry poor, I still will never forget Gray Albright's fantastic tweet about how the owners opened their pockets in an Apple TV collaboration fell out of their pocket about like $90 million or whatever that was. Like, that's going to happen again. And just be ready for it. Be excited for the minor league players. They deserve this. And we might see better talent come out because they're in better conditions. Mm-hmm. So super excited about that.
Better talent come out better. Like, the example I always give too is
Papa John's.
Papa John's, that we'll be able to give every minor leaguer cardboard pizza, and they are so excited about that.
Better players, better conditions. Papa John's.
Papa John's. The example I give is there was a joke about Bobby Colon won domination victory or nothing.
I know
all about it.
I know. It was just too long, man.
No, I actually go for the science victories. Kyler Murray was drafted by the Oakland Athletics and. Yeah. He also was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals.
No, and
we had to entertain for a second that was even a choice, that he could have immediate multi-million dollar contracts, or he could ride a bus in the minor leagues for a minimum of 2 years.
You know what happens though when you ride a bus? You don't have possible brain damage for your life.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. But honestly, though, if you were him, it's kind of a no brainer. And now maybe that changes a little bit. Also, there were a good amount of minor leaguers that I spoke to during the lockout who were frustrated because they didn't have a seat at the table. And while we always think of minor leaguers as young 20, 21 year olds who are waiting for their shot at the big leagues, it's not always the case. There's plenty of minor leaguers who are journeymen, who are veterans trying to get another go at a particular shot at the game. Right. And their careers were just as in flux. And despite the fact that they might have played in the MLB at some point, they didn't have a seat at the table. There were multiple people who felt that way. So performing that, getting that union together, really, really good for the players. Very, very good.
So, by the way, Zacharis puts in chat here. Do you know who this Gunnar Henderson is, Fast? Because he's flying to Cleveland tomorrow to join the taxi squad.
Oh, that is very good news.
So is DL Hall.
So is DL Hall.
Yeah.
That is
get excited for your O's, baby. Taxi squad. But, you know, we're going to get expansions, right, in September.
Yeah, that's got to be it. I mean, the Orioles have scored 7 runs in the last 4 games. You could use a little bit of a jolt here.
Who would know that? I have no idea. Last thing I do want to mention
actually,
about
what happened. Wait, yeah, hold on. You know who knew that?
Who? Asif. Oh, Asif?
Asif.
Yeah.
Asif. He was the one who texted me that. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Now, one other thing I do want to mention. Did you see this thing about O'Neal Cruz? He hit the hardest ball in the StatCast era.
Yeah.
He's been out for what? Like 2 months?
Yeah.
Even that?
I cannot wait to see what team he succeeds on.
The hardest ball ever. Like harder than Giancarlo Stanton. 122.4 miles per hour. It was a double. I can't put it live here because you won't see it.
Yeah.
The frame rate isn't high enough.
It's
it just like disappears. It's gone.
I don't think he actually had a hit ball, a ball put in play under 100 miles an hour in yesterday's game, too. I think he had 3 hits over 100 miles an hour.
It's so much fun. Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
And like, remember, guys, like right away, Giancarlo Stanton wasn't Giancarlo Stanton, right? Like it took him a moment or two.
He was
to get to it. Yeah, there it is. well designed, Fast. All right. Our next section. I don't know if you know this one, Fast. It's only my favorite of the week. It's Wild Thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Baby. Okay. So, Fast, what is your wild thought this week?
You are actually going to be very surprised.
No. You got one?
I thought a lot about it this week.
Okay. Okay.
And, all right. So, I was thinking about it, and what I was thinking was, no, I don't have a wild thought. Nick, come on.
Oh, my God. Come on. No. How could you do that to me? That was so cruel. I was so excited. Oh, man. I was like, ready to dissect it, work on it with you, craft it together. That's
really good. There are multiple moments of the course of the week where I'm like sitting staring into the void. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's a wild thought. And then because I get literally no sleep anymore, I forget them instantaneously.
You gotta get annoyed. All right, well, I have a wild thought. Shocking, more at 11. I have a fun one. I think I have a really good one. Excuse you, Mr. No Wild Thought. I think it would be really fun if there were a minor league player lottery where a player that is not getting called up, I can, like, through the entire system, it's like the balls spin. And all of a sudden, like, this is the week. It's September. It's the last week of the year. We pull it around. Let's see who it is. It's this random guy from High A. He's 31 years old, and he's on the team for a week. And there's an extra position open for that team just for that player.
I dig it. But
yeah, what?
I remembered.
No, don't do this to me.
I did.
Fool me once, shame on you.
I did. Fool me twice. I did. I feel like I'm cheating because it's the second time that
Oh God, you don't have anything. You're just stalling.
No, I'm not. It's the second time I have pulled from soccer as a wild thought. But the blending of the sports is very fun. And I don't have anything. No, I'm joking.
I knew it.
No, I do. A couple weeks ago, one of the earlier Nick and Alex specials talked about the relegation system. I think it's a fantastic idea. I think you add 8 expansion teams and you do that. I think it's great. It solves a lot of issues. Now, what I dig is taking the loan system from professional football and bringing that to the MLB. So do you know the loan system?
Oh, yes, I do. So like, oh no, that guy is not the fifth starter anymore. Ross Stripling, what are you going to do? Another team will loan, like the Pirates will say, oh, sure, we'll take some Ross Stripling for like 2 weeks.
Well, sure, we'll develop him. We'll let him.
That's a Pittsburgh Pirate, by the way. That's how he talks.
Yeah, sure. So Ross Stripling. Yeah, well, why not? The thing about the, like, usually... Let's do it, because here was the problem that I ran into with it. In soccer, you can do it because I can take a player from Liverpool and make him play on Juventus, and they are two separate leagues, and it doesn't matter, right? Because I'm Liverpool, I'm not giving him to Man United, who would desperately need a player, and therefore it doesn't necessarily impact me. Let's get a loan system from maybe the KBO, maybe the NPB. That might be better. Because then, you know, what incentive would the Orioles have to loan to the Marlins? Actually, maybe it wouldn't matter because they're not in their division. Let's do it. Let's take some of the Orioles' best players and loan them out to the Marlins. Guys like Gunnar Henderson, whatever, he's coming up, Colton Cowser, Kobe Mayo, loan them out. Let him see.
Wait, what was his name?
Kobe Mayo. Is the best Baltimore accent name.
That's so good. Fantastic. Now hold on. I think that's kind of cool. So like you have the rentals that are actually rentals and go back to the team.
100%
after. 100%. I think that's pretty cool.
Take guys who are blocked. Yeah.
You know, then you'd be able to create a term called a Chuck Norris.
Why?
Because whenever a team from Texas would loan them out, it'd be the Lone Ranger.
He wasn't the Lone Ranger. Chuck Norris is not the Lone Ranger. He's Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh, right. Who's the Lone Ranger?
The Lone Ranger is just the Lone Ranger.
Who's that?
It's Johnny Depp, is actually who it is.
No, it's not. You're just making that up. I don't have any idea.
He was in the movie. He was in the 2013 movie, and Armie Hammer actually played the Lone Ranger.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, they call it the Hammer.
Okay. Oh my God, I love that. I love that.
That's the Lone Ranger. Yeah. I think that's a really cool idea. Now, it's a very convoluted system we already have in the majors about 40 man and 25 man, all that kind of stuff. And, options and everything along those lines. It might add a weird wrinkle into what the 40 man looks like and replacements for that and so on. But no, I think this is a fantastic idea. It'd be kind of weird. Like maybe the Yankees would have loaned away Jordan Montgomery to the Cardinals instead.
Yeah.
It's also a different way to trade. You know, you can essentially be loaning instead of for cash or something like that for another player, but then they come back.
I wonder if a part of the incentivization is like the service time clock doesn't start, but you are paid as a big leaguer by the team who is getting the loan. And then as a result, you get a draft pick or something, because it could work both ways. Like, yeah, the Orioles, let's say the Orioles are let's look at a team as one of the worst teams in baseball this year. Right. So let's look at who is it, like the Nationals. OK, I want my prospect to go to the Nationals because he's not going to help him win, but he's going to see regular.
He's going to be developing. Yeah.
He's going to see DeGrom.
That's kind of funny. So like if you're the worst team in baseball, all of a sudden you are one of the most exciting teams to watch because you have all the new developing players.
That's pretty fun.
That's pretty cool. Send him off to Pittsburgh. Be like everyone, like Pittsburgh just becomes a non-team. They just only have loans from everyone else all the time.
It's a win-win.
That's interesting. If they're getting loaned and a team doesn't have to spend the money or something, you might just...
And then
that's how you do expansion. That's how you do expansion teams. You don't actually have their own players. They just have loaned players as they get their draft picks and everything.
And if you theoretically had I don't remember what I was going to say. We're talking about theoretically having a minor league all-star game representative in Pittsburgh, but fans would come and see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just saying if they're expansion team, all they have are loaned players. Mm-hmm. You know what their theme song should be?
Oh God. If it's a Lone Ranger joke, I'm out of here.
I'm all alone.
Stay away from my dog.
That's my best one. That is the best one of the podcast.
Stay away from my
dog. Brilliant. Daughter. Thank you so much, everybody. Oh, your applause. It's not necessary.
Stay away from
my daughter. Chat, you're too kind. Thank you so much. All right. We're getting
130 from chat loves my idea. So I love him.
All right. We're getting close to the end of this one. We have some images of the week, though, that we got to show off. I'm going to go with yours first here.
Okay.
It's a lovely image. I gotta say, I really do dig it.
Yeah.
What do we got here, Fast?
So Yoan Duran of the Minnesota Twins threw the hardest splitter ever, or splinker, a mix between a splitter and a sinker at 100.8 miles an hour. And there was an interview with Dylan Bundy where he was like, yeah, we learned that it was the hardest you know, whatever splitter ever thrown. And I don't know. I think we should get him a cake. And then like the next day he like walks in and gives this cake to him. And this is his face as he shows it to the camera. And he was just so excited by it. I just think it's very cool.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that you want to see on teams, right? You want to see those team morale moments, just messing around. The hardest secondary pitch ever thrown, which is just
unbelievable.
Insane.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. We were freaking about at the 96 mile per hour changeup, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we know? This is mine of the week, which I'm surprised wasn't yours, honestly. The things I do for fast, guys.
Let's see.
This is take it for the broadcast.
This was so
most career home runs with the last name beginning with RUT in MLB history. So obviously you got Babe Ruth. He's got 714 of them. In second place is Josh Rutledge with 20, but coming up hot at third is Adley Rutschman with 8. And guess what? Both Adley and Babe Ruth, they share a birthday on February 6th.
They do. If you theoretically remove Josh Rutledge from this list, if you said this was also exclusive to people with ties to Baltimore, you know what I mean? And then really, it's just a 2-person list. It's just Babe and Adley.
Can you, first of all, what's the tie of Babe to Baltimore?
Born and raised, baby. Born and raised across the street from Camden Yards and also played for the Orioles.
And Adley?
It plays for the Baltimore.
How do you say Josh Rutledge in a Baltimorean accent?
That one doesn't, Rutledge doesn't, it doesn't have the O sound, so it wouldn't matter.
Can you try it?
It would just say Josh Rutledge. There's nothing there. Like put the game on Josh Rutledge. Yeah. There's nothing there. There's no major vowel. Joe, I'm going to go watch Joe Flacco there. Put the game on, go do a wash. I got to go do a wash, go drink a glass of water.
All right. I'm not going to stall any longer. Cause I have your favorite segment tonight. What is it?
Fast? Oh, it's Corbin. You talking about Corbin?
I'm not, but but yeah, that was who the pitcher was, by the way. It was Corbin, a Patrick Corbin. You got it right. Okay. No, it was Corbin Burns. That's right. That was Mr. Pitcher, 158 ERA, 301 whip, ERA, and a 0.99 whip. No, who's going to win the World Series? Fast?
So it's your turn. I thought.
I know. I was about. Okay. Yes.
I'm sorry. I got really panicked.
This guy.
This guy
right now. What is our favorite segment, Fast?
Who's going to win the World Series this year? So we're going to determine every week who is going to win the World Series. You cannot have any repeats. So, you know, you have to team is a little bit silly. But last week, I believe I ended up choosing the St. Louis Cardinals.
Correct.
Who is it this week?
It is the Tampa Bay Rays. And look, we already got news that Shane McClanahan is more likely healthy than we think. Tyler Glasnow could be coming back. And here's the thing. They just need to make the playoffs. Because once you got your Glasnow, you got McShane rolling, anything can happen, baby.
Yeah.
You know, and I just said baby, and you know that's real then.
That's so, how you know.
And then you have other stuff. You know, it's just a race. It's Kevin Cash. You got the stuff. You got the stuff of Rays magic. We always say they aren't very good, and here they are. They're doing it again. You know? Don't deny the strength of Yandy Diaz's biceps.
Is this a Baltimore accent?
No. It's dumb. Okay. Just look, Glasnow and McShane. This is what happens is they had Shane Boz last year. They had Matt Moore back in 2007 or whatever it was. 10, 11, I don't know that time. And they're going to have Glasnow now where it's, sorry, I stuttered. Where he's just going to come back at the end and all of a sudden be dominant. Everyone's like, oh, hey, hi, what's up? Good to see you again. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be really fun.
Me too. All right, Nick. We spoiled who the pitcher was.
We?
Yeah, I did. I did. I did with the Corbin Burns. But is there any other final parting words that you have for everyone?
You know, I just want to say y'all are the best, and I can't thank you enough for being here. But that is going to do it for this episode of the Nick and Alex Baseball Show. Hope you had a good time. Hope you realize how stupid Fast is about his Cy Young decisions. And I am Nick Pollock.
And I'm just a dummy. And I'm Alex Fast. And we'll talk to you guys next week.